Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to be back, but Lynette and I left after Christmas, and of course on the 30th we celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary. So we had a good time together and enjoyed a dinner and just relaxed and enjoyed life. Well, we about finished with this roof on this side, and we need to continue to keep giving because each one of these sides, there's three of them, cost about $450,000 a roof. So, $480,000, okay, well, I was close. But one, two, three, you do the math, but we continue to go and refurbish this building. Amen. You know, sometimes we need to refurbish our own lives also, both in the natural and the spiritual. Okay? You know, this is the first Sunday of a new year. And this is an opportunity to set the pace for the rest of the year. In other words, what we do today can and most likely will affect us the rest of the year. Now, in high school, I ran track, and there's a lot of things that I learned running track, I think, that have helped me in life. One of the most important things when you're running track is to set a pace at the beginning of the race that you can maintain with a strong finish. Now that's especially true in the distance races, but it's also true in the sprints. I was a sprinter, and if you're running that 440, which we ran yards back now, I think it's the 400 meters, but it's the 440 yards. Man, you need to be able to set a pace that you're going to be able to finish, because you can go out too fast and you don't have anything in the tank when you're coming toward the finish line. How many of you run track know what I'm talking about? So, you know, and there's various things that affect your running. Good coaching is needed. Getting proper rest and nourishment is needed. Getting the lightest and the strongest equipment is necessary too. And staying away from negative people that don't think that you can do it. And the last one is probably the most important one. Let go of anything that hinders you from running your best race. Now, let's look at that and how it affects our walk with the Lord in real life. You know, we need to begin to take everything into notice and get ready to run your best year with the Lord. Now, let's go back and let's touch on this. Proper instruction or coaching. Well, that's reading the Word, going to church, hearing the Word preached, and receiving godly counsel. Proper rest and nutrition, we all know that. We both need that naturally and spiritually. Daily we need to feed on the Word. Well, proper equipment, well, that's spending time in prayer and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, letting go of the things that hinder, like unforgiveness, worry, offense, fear, what happened in the past. Now, all of these things that I talked about are very important, but I want to focus in on that last one. Letting go of anything that can hinder you from having a great year with God. So, the title today is, Let It Go. Say it with me. Let it go. Now let's look at the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness, okay? Numbers 11, beginning with verse number 4. Then the foreign rabble that were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt, and the people of Israel also began to complain. Now, I want you to notice here it says the foreign rabble. As they were traveling, they begin to pick up people. And if you're not careful, as you begin to travel through life, you begin to pick up people. You got better be careful what people you pick up with. Oh, for some meat, they explain. And we remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and all of the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and all the garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we see is this manna. The manna looked like small condor seeds, and it was pale yellow like gum rising. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with the hand mills or pounded it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries baked with olive oil. The manna came down on the camp with dew during the morning, and Moses heard all the families standing in their doorways of their tents whining. And the Lord became extremely angry, and Moses was also aggravated. Now here we see the Israelites. They are looking back at all the good things, but their memory is selective because they're not remembering all of the bad things. They were slaves. Sometimes I think we do like the Israelites. We only remember what we want to remember. Now, I know all of our wives, you that are married, I know all of our wives are saying, yep, that's my husband. Have any of you guys, like me, have ever been told, you only remember what you want to remember? Anybody want to join me? I got a few of you. If you've been married very long at all, you're going to hear that sometime or another. Am I right, guys, that have been married a while? Now, let's see when they started to complain. It was when these people that they had picked up began to complain about the current situation. That's when they started to complain. They listened to the wrong people. Being around the right people is important because they affect you in a good way. Being around negative, discontented people will affect you in a bad way. They started complaining because these people that were with them started complaining. And it hindered them from going in the promised land. Now, in Paul talking about the Israelites in 1 Corinthians 10, 7 through 10, he wrote five things that kept the Israelites from getting in the promised land. And one of those things was complaining. The first four, we would consider, they were really bad sins. But the fifth thing was simply complaining and grumbling. Comparing that with what he talked about if you want to read it, you can. What he talked about, complaining is nothing compared to those other four. Yet complaining was one of the things that kept them from getting in the promised land. Now, let's begin to look at something here. how can we apply this to our lives this year? Well, number one, if you want to change the scenery, you got to let go of where you've been. You have to let go of the past year as you enter into the new year. If you keep focusing on the past year, this new year will not be a new year. It'll just be a continuation of what happened last year. Come on now, that's a good statement. If you hold on the past, it's just going to be the same thing all over again. Now let's look at Isaiah talking to the children of Israel when they were in captivity in Babylon. In Isaiah 43:16, I'm the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candlestick. Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. But forget all of that. But forget. In other words, let it go. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? It will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now here, God is telling them, forget everything that I have done in the past. In other words, remembering how good it used to be is not going to help you. Let it go and focus on what God has for this year. God wants to do much more, but he can't do it as long as you're holding on to last year. You know, I met people, and all they want to talk about is what they used to call the good old days. And as you go around our circle, charismatic faith circle, they're talking about, oh, remember camp meeting downtown. Remember the Holy Ghost meetings. And all they're talking about is all of that. Hey, that's good. But if we want to do what God has for us now, we got to let that go. That's what he told the children of Israel. He said, all these things I've done, let it go. Because it's nothing compared to what I got out here in front of you. You know, we can't make progress with God if we're continually looking backwards. I want you to go out there and get in your car and drive, but driving home, I want you to try to go forward and look back all the time. I see some of you got it. In fact, like one person said, if that's the way you want to go, keep looking that way. But if you want to go forward, quit looking backward. Let it go. The good, the bad, and everything in between that would hinder us from pressing toward God's plan for you for this year. It's great what God has done in your life this year. Well, at least for most of us. Now, we've had some bad times, but sometimes All you remember are the bad times and not the good times. But he said, let it go. So, let go of the past, because if you don't, let go of last year, 2025 is over, it's done with, and nothing that happened can be changed. But if you keep hanging on to it, you will bring that baggage into the new year and have the same problem. Let it go. Turn to your neighbor and say, let it go. You know, people always talk about breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. We want to have a breakthrough. Well, if you want to have a breakthrough, you got to let go of everything that has happened. You know, you got to get rid of the heavy load you've been carrying. You got to get rid of the worries. You got to get rid of unforgiveness. You got to get rid of offense and fear. These will hold you back from making a breakthrough. So what if somebody was unfair to you? So what if somebody was hateful? So what if somebody did something to you? Hello. The more you think about it, the worse it is. Actually, it grows. It may have not been that bad, but the more you dwell on it, the more the enemy keeps punching into your mind. Oh, man, you know what? That was so horrible. Man, look what they did to you. Well, so what? I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. I still got God. Come on now. Sometimes it's our attitude that we adopt in a situation that either causes us to go forward or to become stagnated and stay exactly where we're at. Come on. You need to look at every situation. My dad used to say to me, he said, son, look at every situation and find the positive in it and go on from there. Because if you stand there looking at all the negative, you're going to stay in the negative. And Dad would say to me all the time, stay positive, stay positive, stay positive, stay positive. If you ever notice, the Word of God is positive. Come on now. You know, we cannot afford to hold grudges, unforgiveness. We can't afford to hold on to worry. Now, there's a whole big difference between concern and worry. Go look it up in the dictionary. Hello. There is a gulf between concern and worry. It's all right to be concerned about something, but it's not all right to worry about something, because let me go on. Fear cannot control you. If you allow fear to control you, you will never go anywhere. If we insist on holding on to all of this stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between from last year, it will bring damage to us. You know, Dad used to tell this story, and I think I know the lady, and it was at a certain church, And we had just got there as pastors, and she came in to the parsonage. Now, when I was growing up, the church would be right here, and the house you lived in would be right here, called the parsonage. Anybody remember when the pastor lived right next door to the church? Worst thing in the world. I'm serious. We're trying to get ready to go to church and people knocking on the door. Oh, we thought we'd come a little early and visit with the pastor. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there? If I got some pastor's kids there, I guarantee you, you've been there. Oh, man. And so she is telling him about all the things that somebody in the church had done to her. And Dad was listening at her. She's sitting there in the living room. I was a kid there. And in there, and then those houses back then, they weren't big houses. Most of the time it was a kitchen, a place to eat, something they called a living room. Usually it's where you studied or anything else. And then a couple of bedrooms and a bathroom, and that was it. So they wasn't nowhere else for me to go, so I'm there. And finally he said, "Now wait a minute. When did all this happen?" And she, I don't know, it was a number of years, I don't know. I think she said 12 or 15 years ago, something like that. 10 years, I forgot what it is. And Dad thought it was something just happened recently. You see, she had carried that unforgiveness for all those years. And it had hindered her in receiving everything from God. We are not designed to carry these burdens. You ever came up to a bridge and there's a sign there that said load limit? Anybody? Load limit 2 tons. That means that bridge can safely carry 2 tons. If you're driving a vehicle that has a load of 4 tons on it, you're taking a big risk to go out on that bridge. There's several things can happen. Number one, you can structurally damage the bridge. Number two, the bridge can collapse, causing expensive, time-consuming repairs to the bridge and maybe to yourself. We need to realize the damage that happens to us when we carry something that we're not designed to carry. You know, as you drive the interstate, I just drove the interstate, and right at the border of interstates, there are something called way stations. Anybody ever seen those? And all the trucks had to pull in there. Well, what they do, one of the things they do, several things, may look at papers and stuff, but is that they check the weight, because you're only allowed to have so much weight per axle on the truck to legally travel on those roads, because otherwise the heavy load destroys the road. You know, Christians got to stay within the load limit. Do you know from reading the Word of God, you know what the load limit is? Zero. Your baggage limit to carry is zero. Let it go. Some Christians, you know, they're overloaded all the time. They're carrying things around that they don't need to carry, burdened down, weighted down. In fact, if they come up and talk to you and they say, "Oh, let me tell you what's going on. I don't tell you what. I was down so and so, and they just treated me horrible." Anybody ever been seen people like that? Well, I got three people raised their hand. I don't know where you've been, but in my short lifetime, I have run into a lot of people. You go, "Hey, man, good to see you. How's it going?" "Oh, man." And they start in. And then you're standing there saying, "I wish I hadn't asked them this." I know, I'm the only one that does that. Ain't none of you ever done that. In fact, while we was on this trip, I think, we were with a person, and another person come up and started talking to him, and we realized, hey, and so, of course, my lad and I have been there. We said, "Oh, wait, you're needed over here." And when we walked away, she said, "Thank you." I don't know whether any of you been there, but I've been there lots of times. I wish somebody would come and rescue me. Of course, none of y'all ever been there like that. Carrying loads that we are not designed to carry causes you to walk in darkness, the darkness of despair and depression, the darkness of doubt and unbelief, fear and worry, the darkness of fatigue and sickness, the darkness of unforgiveness and offense. It's time to get out of the darkness by letting it go and begin to move into the glorious light of the plan of God for your life. You know, we all know this scripture, Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest." Well, that's a good scripture. But if you want to do what that scripture says, you got to let it go. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul. I think he was very successful in his life. Hello? Anybody agree with me? You know, actually, he tells us the secret for his successful life in Philippians 3:13-14. "No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." Here it is. "Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize, which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." Here, he gives you the two secrets for his success. Number one, he let it go. Forgot the past. Number two, he wasn't looking back, but he was looking forward. Not only was he looking forward, he was pressing forward to fulfill God's plan for his life. And one other place he says that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now I think Paul's the kind of person we need to listen to. In order for him to move forward He had to let go of everything else. Now, when you read about Paul, you read that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He most likely was taught at the feet of the great Rabbi Gamaliel. And he talked about being more zealous than any other Israelite. Now, he had to let a lot of stuff go. Those are some things there. But you know what? He had to let go of the fact that he was the one that instigated and stood there and tell the people to throw more rocks and throw harder when Stephen was stoned. He's the one that held their coats. He's the one that went about killing Christians till God arrested him on the road to Damascus. And then he went on to become the greatest missionary the world's ever known. He established the first mega churches a long time ago in Corinth and Ephesus and these different places. And now he says, I let all of that go. I forgot what's behind. That's letting it go. And he pursued the call of God. He preached the gospel where nobody else would or did. He was faithful. He kept going when others quit. And he testified at the end in 2 Timothy 4, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I remain faithful. Now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day of his return. And the prize, here it is, is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to the appearing. That look forward to his appearing. Now, excuse me. Paul said he finished his race. But he's not saying, look at all that I've accomplished. He said he was looking for the reward. He's still got his eyes fixed forward and not on the past. He said that in the Philippians there. He said it here. He said, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I remained faithful. He's still looking forward and not backward. You know, I see people all the time. And they're always dropping names. You know, you're talking to them and they talk about this person that they were with and that person that they were with. You know, I was with somebody recently and I said, you know what? These people talk about who all they've been with. I said, hey, I've been in the house of several of the stars in Beverly Hills. I've sat and talked with athletes, pro athletes, sit in their boxes at the stadium. You ever hear me talking about that? You ever see me put it on Facebook? No. Because you know what? That don't mount a hill of beans. all that I've accomplished. You don't ever hear me talking about what all I've done in my lifetime. And thank God that God's been good to me and allowed me to do this. But hey, what good is that? The important thing is what's happening now. Thank God for what happened. Hello. Thank God for Raymond. Thank God for what it's doing. But hey, let me tell you what. I am, 86 years old, and I'm not slowing down. You can tell that. I'm not, thank God for all that. But I'm letting that go, and I'm looking to what's out here in front of me. My life is still there. Your life is still there. It's not back here last 2025. It's right out here in 2026. That's where it is. Let it go. Let it go. In Hebrews 12:1, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sins that easily trip us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You know, there's some things that are not wrong in themselves, but they become wrong when they distract you from following the plan of God for your life, whatever it is. You say, well, you talk about Paul. He was in ministry. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what. Those same principles work in every area of life. And wherever you're at and wherever God's got you right now, then let it go and get with it. You know, I've seen people get saved. Man, they got so much baggage and so many problems, it's unreal. But boy, they get in the Word, they're coming to church, they're praying, and they're learning to believe God. And one by one, all the baggage disappears and the problems disappear. And all of a sudden, you can't find them. They're not at church. You don't see them anymore. What have they done? They have let the things around them keep them from going forward. You know, I believe everybody, if they'll let go of yesterday and look forward to today, that they'll have the best year they've ever had. Get ready to let go and to go. Let go and go. It's right in front of you. It's not over here. It's not over there. And it's not back there. It's right out there. So don't let the distractions on the left or the right. Don't let last year be a distraction. But let it all go. And look forward and go forward. And begin to see that your life does not have to be the same. But if you'll let go and follow me, you'll see that everything is going to be all right. But as long as you hold on to the past, I cannot do for you what I want to do, because you are stuck in the past when I need you out here in front and forgetting the past. Everybody stand. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. I can't beat that. That's the word of God came up to me and I just said it. Now, let me say this. Not everything, you know, is bad that you need to let go. Some you need to let a lot of things go. You know, well, I got my dreams. Well, that's great, but are they God's dreams? Sometimes in order to get God's dream, you got to let your dream go. I'm just saying. So whatever it is that you need to let go, you just say, all right, you're going to pray your own prayer. I ain't going to pray for you. You pray your own prayer. I want you just to say, all right, Lord, I'm letting it all go. And I'm opening myself up to move forward with you to receive everything that I can receive from you this year. Now you go ahead and pray your prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you as each one of these takes just a moment and looks at their life and looks at what they need to do. Help them, Father, to let go and then to get up and go. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You got anything you want to say?
Moving back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you, where things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ, and I'm moving forward. I'm not looking back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward.
Amen. You know, every time when people talk about letting something go, you're talking about all the bad things. But remember when God was talking to the children of Israel there, he said, forget, let go of all the good things that I've done. Because see, can you see it? I'm doing something else. Hallelujah. I think you got it. I thank you, God, for what I said. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know him so you need to let go of that old life and get the new life. Or you may be here and say, I know what it is to serve God, but I've sort of got off track, detoured, and I just need to rededicate my life to God. If that's anybody in this auditorium anywhere, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you just simply raise your hand wherever you're at, upstairs, downstairs, wherever, and let me know that you want me to pray with you. Anybody, I'm looking around. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's somebody back here. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Somebody over here. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or should you raise your hand, just step out now. Come on down here. I want to shake your hand and pray with you right now. Come on. If you wanted to come, should have come. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, guys. God bless you, man. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Let go of the past and come on and go to the future with God right now. Hallelujah. Wait just a moment. Pray. I'm waiting for anybody else that wants to come. This is your time. This is your day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody, look at me. I got three books in my hand. One called New Birth, talks about salvation. One called In Him, talking about who you are in Christ. And one called White Tongues, talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I said I was going to give you these and I put them out there, what do you got to do to get them?
Just have one.
You can have all three of them. Hallelujah. Now, everybody's going to get that same books in just a moment. That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you a book. All you got to do is reach out and take it. But what you come to get is a spiritual thing that comes from heaven on high. Just as he reached his hand out that way, I want you to reach one hand up, and I don't care which hand, saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to get what I came for. Congregation, I want you to pray for them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Put your hand down and look at them for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get those books. See Pastor Greg over there. Would y'all just go with him to that place of prayer? There's others there to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give them a hand as they go. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Glory. Hallelujah.